say in Matthew chapter 15, beginning of verse 1, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die of the debt. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude, and he said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and he said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. I want to take verse 13 for the text. He answered and he said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now, in this passage of Scripture here, we see the superficiality of those Pharisees in their religion. We see that they didn't have any real heart religion at all. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ just laid bare their heart before them, exposed them for what they were, and they absolutely could not handle it. He said, All your religion is just a bunch of traditions. All you've got is just an outward form that's not even after true holiness, not even a good imitation of that. And he said that you haven't even learned the first lesson about true religion. He says, It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Well, whenever he preached like that, well, it cut them to the bone. And his disciples were worried about it. They came running up to him and said, Oh, don't you know that what you said has offended the Pharisees? And the Lord Jesus Christ answered them this way, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. He said that they are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, then they'll both fall into the ditch. Now, brethren, it's a great necessity that offenses come. As a matter of fact, the Scriptures say that it is necessary that offenses come. There's many different reasons why that it's necessary that offenses come. One reason is, by this means, the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ are divided from the goats. They're even divided a lot of times right here upon the earth. And it's through our loyalty a lot of times. There's many different reasons why that offenses have to come. There's reasons why that it's of great necessity that we preach truths that do offend. We can't just go around in the Scriptures and pick out those things that are pleasant, those things that are easy to be heard, things that will kind of stir our intellect, things that will kind of please our fancy. We've got to preach all the counsel of God. We've got to preach the whole counsel of God. It must be declared unto men. And it's of necessity that we preach truths that offend some people. Because, really, If we don't, we're going to be deceiving people. We got to declare that God's absolutely sovereign. That's not palatable. That's not tasty to the natural mind. And a lot of churches are filled up with those people who only have the natural mind that's at enmity to God. They can't stand that kind of preaching, but brethren, it's absolutely necessary that we preach about that. It's necessary that we preach about the justice of God. It's necessary that we preach about sovereign election. It's necessary that we preach about reprobation. It's necessary that we preach about holiness of life and preach against sin. Some of these things are hard to hear for a lot of people, but it's necessary that we do that. If we don't do that, then we're going to be guilty of doing what a lot of people are doing right now, presenting a perverted idea of what God is like, and by that we'll be deceiving them. We'll be presenting a one-sided view of what salvation is like, and brethren, when we present a half-truth, it's an untruth, which is a lie, and we're liable to deceive people. Now, God hasn't sent us to be deceivers. God has sent us to speak plainly the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the truth of God's word. God has not given it unto us to determine what will happen and back off here and look at it and say, now if I preach this hard thing, so-and-so over here is going to get offended, so I better not do that because we can't afford to suffer those consequences. God has sent us, God has said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And he warned us about a time when people would not endure sound doctrine, but they, having itching ears, would heap to themselves teachers that would tickle their ears, that would give them exactly what they want. Well, brethren, we cannot do that. We must preach even those things when they offend people. We must go on and preach them when it's absolutely necessary. We've got to do that. We've got to preach these things because this is one of the ways that God divides his people from the rest of the people. You've witnessed that. Brother, whenever a man goes into a church, is professing to be a church, has not had very much instruction, and that could be any, practically any church in this day that we're living in, and he starts nailing down and preaching the word of God and not holding back but declaring the whole counsel of God unto men, one of two things is going to happen. You know that. And maybe both of those things will happen. Either they're all going to hate him and they're going to run him off, or nearly all of them are going to hate him, and they're going to run him off, and the ones that believe what he says, if God gives them enough grace and enough backbone, they're going to follow him, they're going to beg him to go on preaching the word of God to them, and they're going to believe what God has said, and they're going to be obedient. Now, God's word is sent for that. You know, people quote that verse of Scripture about God's word won't return unto him void, but it'll accomplish what he sent it to do. All they're thinking, usually, when they're quoting that, is that God has sent his word to convert sinners, and God's going to convert sinners every time that the word of God is preached. It's not going to return unto him void. Brethren, God has not sent his word just to convert sinners. God has sent his word because his word is truth. And brethren, some people do not believe. Some people harden their heart at the preaching of the gospel. The word of God hardens some people and turns them away, scares them off, runs them on into their sin. They take a taste of it and they say, "Pooh, I don't like it. I love my sin." And they go on with that. And then others believe and rejoice in the truth of God's word. Now that's what it means. That it's not going to return unto God void. It's going to accomplish what he sent it to do. The same word hardens some people and melts the hearts of other people. So we can't just pick and choose. It's absolutely necessary that we preach doctrines that some people are offensive. If we started picking and choosing and trying to decide what would not offend, there wouldn't be anything for us to preach for very long. Now I want you to see the Lord's response. The disciples were shook up. They were worried about it. Don't you know the Pharisees are offended? The Lord's response was, "Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." And his response was, and his instruction to them was, "Let them alone." He didn't say, "Well, I've got to kind of correct the situation. I've got to get back out there and talk to them. I'll visit around in their homes, and I'll explain to them what I meant. I'll kind of tone it down to them so it'll be suited to them, and I'll smooth things over. And he didn't get in a fizz and worry about it. He didn't sit down and cry because they were offended. He said just exactly what it is. Some people are not going to hear. Some people are claiming to be God's people, and they're not God's people. And he said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted is going to be rooted up. They're going to be offended. And he didn't say, now you go out and you try to smooth things over. He didn't say, you go out running after them and begging them to come back, begging them to listen, begging them to change their mind. He said, if they're going to revolt against this word, if they're going to choke on what I'm feeding them, he says, let them alone. Let them alone. Now that's strange instruction compared to what most people hear nowadays. But that's what Christ our Lord told us to do. Let them alone. They are willfully ignorant. They're rebellious. They're hard-hearted. They try to honor God with their lips, but their heart's far from God. They're not going to hear the truth. They're going to have their system of traditions. They're going to make up their own religion. He says they're going to hate you. They're going to leave, or you're going to leave by force. And he says, let them alone. Your obligation to them is over. Another place he told them to shake the dust off of their feet as a witness against them. And rather than this time that people learn, especially the people of God, we are not obligated to go chasing after people when they are willfully ignorant of God's truth, when they are rebellious to God's truth. Well, I've got just a couple of points that I want to bring out from this verse of Scripture. First one is that there are many plants in religion which are not of God's plan. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Now, I want you to look over in Matthew chapter 13, and I'll read a few verses of Scripture about that. There was a parable that Christ gave, beginning with verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, you can read the rest of the parable at your leisure, but the point is this. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that owned the field, that sowed good seed in his field, but the enemy came and sowed tares. There wasn't every plant in that field of that man's planting. And brethren, in religion, every plant that's in religion is not of God's planting. Now, and what Christ told us here in verse 13, the main reference is to individuals. Individuals professing to be God's people. But it can also be applied to doctrine, it can be applied to churches, and it can be applied to practices that we have in our life. Think about it like that. I said that not every individual professing Christianity is of God's planting. Not every doctrine that's preached in the name of Christianity is of God's planting. Not every church that claims to be a Christian church is of God's planting. Not every practice that people who claim to be God's people perform is of God's planting. Now, some of us thought the main reference was two doctrines. Commentators have said they thought the main reference was to doctrine when he said that every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted to be rooted up. Well, that's a cop-out. It's easy to see from this passage of Scripture that the main reference is to individuals. Listen to what he said. These people, these individuals, were offended. The disciples were worried because these people were offended. He said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. He wasn't talking about their doctrine. He wasn't talking about their practices. He was talking about those individuals there. And he said, don't worry about them. They are blind leaders of the blind. They're going to fall into the ditch. They have their end appointed for them, which is destruction. He said, you leave them alone. The main reference is two individuals. And people who try to make the main reference out to be doctrine, that's a cop-out. Now, it is true that eventually, one day, every false doctrine, every doctrine that's not of our Father's planning, shall be rooted up. But brethren, it's not going to be in our day. That is, it's not going to be through the ministry of us, our churches, the men of God of this age, or the men of God of another age to come. It's going to be when God comes and puts an end to this thing. There's always been false religion, right from the day of Adam, whenever he transgressed the law of God and tried to hide himself with fig leaves. And Cain tried to offer a false offering. There's always been false religion. And brethren, there is false religion now, and there always will be false religion until Jesus Christ comes and sets everything straight. And it's going to be like that. So, one day, false doctrine is going to be rooted up and cast out, but it's not going to be until that day. Now, I want you to note that these individuals were offended, and these individuals were the ones that were going to fall into the ditch. Brethren, unless a person is born again, he's not of the Father's planting. Doesn't matter what kind of decision that he has made. Doesn't matter what kind of profession he has made. Doesn't matter how many good works that he performs. Doesn't matter what he just determines that he's going to do, or what he looks like, or how religious he's been. If he's not been born again by the Spirit of God, he is not of God's planting. Doesn't matter if he is a preacher. Doesn't matter if he has an outward gift of a speaking ability to stand before God's people and preach to them a certain amount of sound doctrine. If he's not been born again, he is not of God's planting. Every plant that my Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Now, there are many, if not most, my opinion is most, of the professors who are in churches nowadays that are not of God's planting. I'm talking about those churches that don't hold to the truth. Brethren, it's got to be like that. How could the great majority of them be Christ's sheep, yet them not hear Christ's voice? He said that my sheep hear my voice. They know me. I'm known of them. I know them, and I am known of them. And he said that the voice of a stranger will they not follow. It's not right for us to imagine, to vainly hope, that these people out here meeting in these other churches, worshiping their own free will and setting up a system of salvation other than the one that God has proclaimed as the only way of salvation, it's not right for us to vainly hope that they are good Christian people that are misguided a little bit. Blind people are leading blind people, and they're all going to fall in the ditch. Most people who are professors of religion, out of the few who are professors of religion in the world, most people are not of God's planting. Well, how did they come to be anyway? Well, some of them sprang up wild. Some of them were of their own planting. Some of them were planted by ministers. Some of them were planted by mamas and daddies, by being untruthful to them. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I said some of them just spring up wild like weeds in a garden. They just decide that they're going to become religious. They decide that they're going to start keeping the law of God. They decide that they're going to make themselves pleasing unto God. They pick themselves up by the bootstraps. They sweep out the house. They clean themselves up a lot. They make a reformation. And then they are God's people. They are saved people. They are Christian people. They belong unto Jehovah. They're going to heaven when they die, so they think. There are people that do that. And then, brethren, there are some that are planted by ministry. I was tickled. A young lady in our church the other day heard her husband confronted by an Armenian preacher. He came in there and he talked to him. He wanted to know if they were absolutely sure that if they died that day that they would go to heaven. When he thought that he saw a little bit of light for him to make a score for himself, well, he dealt with them. Led them down the Roman road and all of that. He was going to get them saved. Well, they had sense enough not to get saved that way. Their hope was already in the fact that if they were to be saved at all, it was by what Jesus Christ had done, not by them hopping down the Roman road and making that decision and getting God over the barrel and forcing Him to save them. The brethren, there's a lot of people that are not that smart. There's a lot of people that will say, "Yep, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner." They say, "Well, look what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. You don't want to go to hell when you die, do you?" "No, no, I don't want to go to hell when I die. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All you've got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart." Confess with your mouth what they lay the emphasis on and believe, and forget about that in the heart, and you'll be saved. They have some doubts. You think God's lying to you? Now, all you've got to do is pray the sinner's prayer. Come on, and say this to God. "Lord, I know that I have sinned. Lord, I know that I have sinned. And I hope that Jesus will come into my heart and save me today. I wish that Jesus would come into my heart and save me today. I believe, dear Lord, that Jesus came into my heart and saved me, and I am yours forever." And then they go and they give them page after page of assurance that they're saved. And so these people, they think they're saved. They're going to heaven. Now, brethren, I ask you, who has planted them? Who has planted them? Some of them follow on and are baptized. Some of them join churches. And some of them make a fairly decent religious life for themselves upon the basis of that decision that they've made by faith. Now, I ask you, who's planted them? We scrutinize the situation. We look it over. We observe them year after year. We listen to their conversations. We get the indications of what's in their heart by what proceeds from their mouth. We see that they don't have any real fear of God, any real reverence for God, or any real love for God. They look phony to me. They bear phony fruit. They look like pears to me. Somebody comes in and starts preaching the truth of God's Word, and they get up in arms against it. You know why? Because it destroys their false hopes of salvation, and they cannot stand it, and they're still dead in their trespasses and sins. Still have a carnal mind that's in enmity to God, and they cannot stand it. And so they say, "Away with such a man. Away with the Word of God. Away with such a way of salvation. We're going to hold on to our decision. We're going to believe what that preacher told us 10 years ago. We're going to trust in that decision." Brethren, that's not of God's planting. That's a false prophet's planting, false minister's planting. It's the very best confused men planting. Some of them are planted by their parents. Now, brethren, it's only natural for us to desire that our children be saved. And it's the only proper thing for us to seek to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's only right for us to beg God to have mercy upon them. And it's only right for us to deal honestly with their souls, to tell them that they are sinful people, and to tell them about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But brethren, it's not honest, it's not fair, it's not right, it's not good, it's not service to God, it's not anything that any man who knows the Word of God could put his stamp of approval on, for you to take a little bitty child, play on his emotions, scare him about a place called hell, get him to make a decision, get him to get out on his knees and to say a prayer, and then on the basis of his trust in you, that you know what you're talking about, tell that kid that he's saved, and if he dies, he's going to go to heaven because of what he did. It's absolutely not right. But brethren, I'll tell you what, it's being done daily by the hundreds. It's being called leading their children to the Lord. All it is planting plants that the Heavenly Father has not planted. And brethren, that's sad.
We've got to be honest with our children. We need to tell them that they're obnoxious to God in their unregenerate state, that their sins defile them, that they're an abomination to God, that the wrath of God is hanging over them. Unless God is so pleased to have mercy upon their souls, then they'll be punished for their sins. They need to be told about heaven. They need to be told about hell. They need to be told about death. They need to be told about judgment. They need to be told about the Redeemer. But they don't need to be lied to just so that our minds will be at ease and so that our minds will be at rest about the matter. There's a lot of people. Brethren, I know a woman that said this. She said, "Well, I was born and raised a Christian, and I never did hear what you're talking about, and I don't believe it." You know what her daddy was? A Southern Baptist preacher. And she thought she was born and raised a Christian. I know a Southern Baptist preacher that said that he went from faith to saved. He was saved at the age of 5, so he claimed, and so he was still not really at the age of accountability. Now, I don't know how he got saved. If he wasn't at the age of accountability, I don't see how that he, by his decision, could have obtained salvation for himself. Looks like that if he's not at the age of accountability, then it wouldn't count for him making that decision. But he said that he went from faith to saved, and so essentially he was saying that he was born and raised a Christian. People, those kind of ideas are not of God's plan. Now, I want to show you something about what God says about people who have planted themselves in a religious setting and have claimed that they belong unto the Lord when they do not know the Lord. Over in the book of Isaiah in the 50th chapter, we'll read verses 10 and 11. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Now note that. He obeyeth the voice of God's servant, but he walks in darkness and he doesn't have any light. He says, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." And he says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk ye in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." What do you see from that verse? There's a people that they don't have any light, they'll just make light for themselves. They don't have any hope, they'll just get themselves a hope. They'll kindle sparks about them. They don't need God, they can be their own Savior, is what they're saying. God says, "You just walk in the light of your own sparks. And you just go right on in that." He says, "This is what you're going to receive in my hand. You're going to lie down in sorrow." Brethren, the people who are saved are not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That is essential. Those are the plants that the Heavenly Father has planted. The rest of them certainly will be rooted up. Well, let's apply this a different way for a few minutes. There are many churches which are not of God's planting. The Pharisees, that sect, that cult, it was said in those days that there was going to be two people in heaven. One of them would be a scribe and the other one would be a Pharisee. The Pharisee was the straightest of all sects. They were the most religious of all the very religious. They were the very elite. They set themselves up as the authorities. They set them up as the pace setters for all the rest of the religious world. They were somebody. They thought they had a monopoly on religion. They thought they had the corner on the market on biblical interpretation, on knowing what was right and what was wrong. Jesus Christ came and cut them to shreds with the preaching of the word. cut down their traditions, expose their hypocrisy, unmask them before the rest of the world there, accuse them of what they were, deceivers of men, hypocrites. They look like a church. They look like people of God to everybody else. But God said that they'll be rooted up. Now, He did a good bit of rooting up back in those days. He didn't destroy it because it wasn't time to destroy it right then. He didn't intend to destroy it right then. But brethren, I want you to know there's a lot more phony churches than there is real churches. A lot more pretending to be God's churches than there are real churches. A lot more that have been planted by somebody else, the enemy, I would suspect, according to what that parable says, and not by God. And one day, they're certainly going to be rooted up. Now, we're told today that we've got to be charitable. We're told today that we've got to embrace all denominations. We're told today that all of us are striving for the same thing. We're all working to go to the same place. We all have the name of Christ in common. We all profess to worship the Lord God. We ought to break down our barriers between ourselves and embrace each other. And if somebody is so hard-headed and so standoffish that they won't do that, they're looked upon as being uncharitable, and they are marked as being anti-Christian in their thinking and in their behavior. They are blackballed by the rest of the religious community. But brethren, I want you to know, Christ didn't tell us to own them. He didn't own the Pharisees. He didn't own the Sadducees. He didn't own those scribes. He didn't own any false religion. He said plainly that every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted is going to be rooted up. And He said amen to it. He was glad that it was that way. He said they're blind. They don't have a little bit of truth. They don't have a little bit of vision. It's not that they are handicapped a little bit and need a little bit of guidance, and through our patience and our working with them that they shall receive the truth, and that we'll do good by catering to their needs and by compromising with them a little bit. No. He said they're blind and they're leaders of the blind, and they are destined to fall into the ditch. You know what Jude said? He said that they were ungodly men before of old, ordained, predestinated, marked out for this condemnation. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't tell us to deal with them like that. And Jesus Christ did not own them. And Jesus Christ will not own them in that day. Now you listen to what Christ said over in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's contrary to what people tell us today. The ecumenical people tell us that everybody that claims the name of the Lord, no matter how screwball their religion is and how mixed up their doctrine is, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And if they would be consistent, they'd have to even say that we will too, even as contrary as our religion is to their religion. Jesus Christ said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We've been preachers. We've preached in your name. And in thy name we've cast out devils. And in thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now our Lord sets our example. He didn't own them. Brethren, we most assuredly do not have to own them either. Over in 1 John, the passage we read the other night, he warned about those people. He warned about them, and he told us to try the spirit, and he told us not to believe every spirit, and he said not to respect it, not to own it, not to receive it into our house, not to accept them at all. He says over in 2 John verses 9 through 11 that we're not to have anything to do with them. Now, let's apply it this way. There are false doctrines that are not of God's plan. It takes an idiot to believe that everybody can be right. Now, there's a lot of people that's working on that philosophy. I'm okay, you're okay. I can be right in the way that I look at it. You might look at it a different way, and in your situation, what you're looking at might be right. And so they've got it figured out in their mind that they can have a God that's a woman and another one say that God is a man, and they can both be right. They've got it figured out in their mind that one person can believe that killing is wrong, the other can believe that it's right, and they can both be right. Now, that's what it necessarily boils down to. That's the way that it is. Well, brethren, truth is truth, and error is error. God gives us truth, and false prophets give us error. We're to receive the truth, and we're to reject the error. We're to call truth truth, and we're to call lies lies, and we're to reject them. That's what the Bible says about it. In the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, there's a passage of Scripture I want us to look at. Verses 31 and 32. Now you listen to this. God is speaking, and God says, "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith, God saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." God didn't say, "I'll tolerate them." God didn't say, "They're pretty good old boys, except they just are a little bit wrong and mixed up in their ideas." God said, "Behold, I am against them that speak with their tongues and say, He saith." Now, brethren, everybody comes in the name of God. They don't come in the name of Satan. The people that are coming in the name of Satan, they're not doing us the harm. They're coming in the name of God, these people are, and saying that God is a weakling. God is defeated. God can't do anything unless you let Him do it. And God might save you today and lose you tomorrow. God's not just. They're saying all these things, but they're coming in the name of God. "I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies." He said that they run, but He had not sent them. So you can just mark it down that there are plants of doctrine that God has not planted. God's not for them, and we're not to be for them. Now, brethren, we'll be long-suffering with the weaker brethren and considering their weakness and deal with them in long-suffering. But you know what the Bible says about a heretic? It says after the second, what? Admonition. What is an admonition? A warning. After the second, most offenses get at least three chances, if you will. Heresy gets two sharp rebukes and warnings, and after the second admonition, rejects. A man that is a heretic rejects him after the second warning. He comes in here and he's spouting off something that's wrong, and you correct him, you rebuke him, and you say, "Now, we're not going to have that in here. That's not true doctrine. That is not according to the Scriptures, and we're not going to hear that." If he comes in here saying it again, you rebuke him again. And after that second one, you shun him because you can't afford to have fellowship. Brethren, we can't afford to drink a glass of water that's got just one drop of poison in it. We absolutely cannot afford to do that. And there are false practices in our lives which are not of God's planning. And God does not smile upon them. He despises them. And brethren, all of these false plants shall be rooted up. Every plant that my Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Now that's the second point. Every plant which our Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Now I want to return to the original way that we're using this and the specific meaning of this text. We said that it applied specifically to individuals. There were a lot of individuals professing to be Christians that were not Christians, and everyone that was not of the Father's planting would most assuredly be rooted up. How will they be rooted up? Various ways. They'll be rooted up by the Word of God. They'll be rooted up by time. They'll be rooted up by persecution. And some of them are stubborn, like some stubborn weeds in the garden, and they'll grow right to that last day. But brother, in that day when God gathers His wheat into the barn, the chaff and the tares, they're going to be bound into bundles and they're going to be cast into the fire. They'll be rooted up in that day. Now I want you to look at what I said. Look over in Matthew in chapter 13. We've got the parable of the sower. I guess we ought to read that whole parable, but surely everybody is familiar with it enough to talk about it. Look at verse 21. He says, well, we'll read verse 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, and then when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now you get that? The seed is sown on all kinds of ground. It springs up on stony ground. It's not got any depthness of root about it. It's not any deepness of root about it. It springs up there and it endures for a little while. But eventually it's rooted up. Eventually it dies. Eventually it's destroyed. How is it destroyed? Well, he says, it dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by it's offended. Now, brethren, when you go to taking people who have just sprung up and are not of God's plan, and you put them in the midst of a people that believe the Word of God and love God and love His Word, and you put them under the preaching of good, sound doctrine, and they hear it day in and day out, they're not going to be able to stand. If they can't gather together a herd and run the preacher off, then they're going to leave, and they're going to find somebody that will give them what they want and rock them on back to sleep in their carnal security. They're going to do that. It's being done time and time and time again. But people are going to be offended for the word's sake. They're going to be offended when persecution comes. That same passage right there. Yet hath he not root in himself that dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution ariseth, by and by he is offended. And brethren, like old John Bunyan said, there's a lot of people that will go with Christ when he walks in silver slippers down palm leaf covered roads and people are singing hosannas unto the king. When Christ is popular, when Christianity is popular, that is, whenever a lot of people in a community are Christians and it's easy for people to be Christians or professed Christians, there's a lot of people that will go along. But brother, whenever it gets hard, whenever it really is going against the grain, whenever people are despising God's people and are persecuting God's people, there's not very many that are going to endure that. But it's going to root them up. They're going to be offended by and by. In days of persecution, brethren, the Lord's planting to wax strong because of the strength of the Lord given unto them. The ones that are not of the Lord's planting, they're not going to endure because they're not real. And God's not strengthening them. Every plant that our Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. A lot of times they're rooted up by their own greed. They hear the word, it impresses them outwardly for a while, they make a profession, they make a reformation, but then it gets to cost them too much to be a Christian. It gets them, costing them too much to make that profession. It costs them too much to keep their shops closed on Sunday. It costs them too much for them to be giving part of what God gives to them back to support the ministry of the Word. It costs them too much to be Christians. It's costing them popularity. It's costing them fame. It's costing them a potential of gaining great wealth for themselves. By and by, they're rooted up. That's what he says right in verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now that's the ways that plants that are not of God's planting are rooted up. Sometimes they're rooted up by temptation. Brethren, sometimes the Lord's people fall to temptation. God strengthens His people. And God keeps His people from temptation more times than not. But brethren, whenever someone who is just faking it, just pretending to be Christian, is presented a real temptation, he's not able to stand. He cannot handle it. He's not getting his strength from God. He's not got a new nature. All he's got is a phony profession. And if the temptation is of such that his old wicked heart really responds to it, he'll fall. He'll be rooted up by it. And brethren, sometimes God's people yield to temptation, and it causes their hearts to really be plagued, and they are despondent within them. But brethren, by and by, God grants them repentance, and they trust in Jesus Christ continually for their salvation. And they may go limping along the rest of their life with broken spiritual bones like David talked about, and they may go on into heaven with bags under their eyes from the weeping that they've done because of their sin. But brethren, they'll not utterly despair. Peter yielded to temptation. His cowardice arose within him, and he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But by and by, God turned him again, and he repented of his evil deed, and he did not despair of the mercy and the grace of God, but he trusted in the mercy and the grace of God. Now, Judas, in his offense, wasn't any greater offender than Peter was. And I might add, any greater offender than we've been. Or any greater offender than any of the rest of the disciples. But he despaired. He wasn't a plant of God's planting. If he had been a plant of God's planting, he would have been granted repentance. He would have been made to weep for his sins. He would have mourned, and he might have had to go mourning all the rest of the days of his life. That might have plagued his mind to a certain extent the rest of the days of his life. But God would have granted him repentance, and he wouldn't have been rooted up. But brother, it overthrew his faith, his supposed faith, his professed faith. And then again, like I said a while ago, some are not going to be rooted up until death. Some are going to hang in there stubborn. They're going to hold on to their false hope. They're going to be harder to get out and away from and off of their false profession than a leech is to get off your body once it's latched hold on them. But they're going to be rooted up in that day. They are going to be rooted up. Brethren, it's possible for people to make professions. It's possible for them to deceive entire churches. It's possible for them to deceive pastors of the churches. Very discerning men. But it's not possible for them to deceive God. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Man can't see into a man's heart. We make as just a judgment as we can from outward evidence. But brethren, God looks right into the very heart of man. And he knows what's in the heart of man, and has no need that any man should tell him. And the heart that's unrenewed, the spirit that is dead, the plant that's not of God's planting, is going to be rooted up. I want you to look over to Matthew 13 again. This time let's read verses 36 through 42. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares and the fields. He answered and he said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered together and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In that day, brethren, they're going to be rooted up. Well, let's consider just for a few moments, and in conclusion, some of the characteristics of those who are of the Lord's planting. Brethren, those that are of the Lord's planting are taken out of their native soil, are fed with a different kind of food. They receive their nutriment a different kind of way. They're taken out of self-confidence. They're taken out of self-righteousness. They're taken out of a self-made religion, if they were religious. They're taken out of too high a view of themselves. They're taken out of their death and trespasses and sins, and they're placed vitally in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're taken off of the old tree and they're engrafted into the good tree. And through that strength that they receive from Him, they produce good fruit. That's one of the ways to see those plants that are of God's plant. Brethren, if people are still growing in the foul ground of self-righteousness, and if they still get their strength from self-reliance and self-confidence, if they still bring forth the fruit of self-righteousness, they're not of God's plan. That's what he says over in Philippians. He says that we are the circumcision that worship God in truth and have no confidence in the flesh. He says, For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The people of God, the people of God's planting, the plants of His planting, are those that mourn over their sins. Brethren, what Zach would have preached to us, I feel like, if he had stayed here all week long, I think it was his intent to preach more of the Beatitudes to us. That right there is the way to tell. Those that are of the Lord's planting are poor in spirit. They mourn over their sins. They are made meek by the Spirit of God. You know what that meekness is? It's given a pliable spirit, a yielding spirit unto God, a submissive spirit, a spirit willing to be taught, to be shaped, to be molded. Not stiff-necked and rebellious. That's not the spot of God's children. That's not the way that God's plants are. God's plants can be trained to grow any way that God wants them to grow. They're the ones that hunger and thirst, not after things that will build up their ego, not after things that will make them proud, not after things that will make them feel good and swell out their chest and go about looking down their snoots at other people thinking they're better than everybody else. They want to be fed. They hunger and they thirst after righteousness. They want to hear about not their righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, the truth of God. They're fed different food. They're made pure in heart. They're made merciful. Well, these are just some of the ways that we discern plants that are of God's plan. And brethren, The Lord does plant His people. The Lord does give life to His people. And it's manifested in the fruits that they bear. But brethren, I want you to know that not everything that calls itself a Christian is a Christian. And not any of those who are really not of the Lord's planting shall survive. Every plant that our Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Now when people are offended for the Word's sake, we're not told to go running after them. We absolutely must not compromise. This right here is what gives me strength, and every man who is a preacher, a real preacher of the Word of God, and has any convictions about it, strength to just go on and preach the Word and let the chips fall where they may. That's what we've got to do. Because, brethren, Christ said, don't worry about them. Let them alone. Now, I don't like to see people leaving the church. I don't like to see them running away from the preaching of God's Word, but I'm not going to compromise it, not for a moment. Because all we're doing is destroying what's right and what's good, being disobedient unto God, and destroying ourselves by what we're doing. He said, let them alone. They are in leadership positions, and they're willfully ignorant and blind to these truths. They are blind, and they're leading the blind. And sometimes I get to feeling sorry for these dupes to Catholicism or to Holy Rollerism, different things like that. I get to feeling sorry for them. The brethren, they're not any better than the rest of them. He said that those people prophesy smooth things, false things, lies, saying peace, peace when there is no peace. But you know what he said about the people that follow them? He said they love to have it so. In other words, they're getting what they want. Blind people leading blind people. The blind people that are being led are getting just what they want because they can't endure what this has got.